Bibles, I want you to turn to James chapter 3. If you don't have your Bibles, don't sweat it. I'd put all my scriptures up here and you can take notes on the back of your bulletin. And we're going to look at James chapter 3. The book of James is the how-to book on Christianity. I encourage you to read it. It's a great book of the Bible. And I've had some things happen this week to me personally that just made me think about this, that in the midst of all this talking about the fog, the favor of God, that we need to talk about things that can happen to us in our walk as we're walking with God that the enemy tries to do to stop the favor of God. And so I just entitled it the Favor Slayer, all right? That's what the enemy wants to do is kill, steal, and destroy what God is trying to do in your life. And he will send people across your path that tries to rent space in your head, the enemy. The enemy uses people just like God uses people. Here's another thing. The enemy can use Christians that aren't walking in healing as well, okay? And so we don't want to be that Christian, amen? We don't want to be that person that the enemy is using. But the favor slayer, just kind of tell you what this is before we read James chapter 3. These all come underneath the favor slayer. Drama, conflict, unforgiveness, strife, offense, quarreling, fighting, etc., etc. All that comes underneath the favor slayer, and they're designed by the enemy to slay the favor of God in your life, to keep the favor of God from happening in your life. It can slay it. All that stuff that I just mentioned, all that junk I just mentioned, it can slay it in marriage, relationships, family, business relationships, and even church relationships. And we must be prepared as God's people with God's principles to overcome them, because they're going to happen. You walk out this door, the enemy's going to attack you with conflict. He's going to attack you with an offense. He's going to try to get you to fight, all these kind of things, because he doesn't want the favor of God, the anointing of God, whatever you want to call it, the blessings of God working in your life. So he tries to get you off track. So I'm going to look at James chapter 3, and I'm going to read this out of the Message Bible today. Will Bowie had texted me last night, and he said, what translation do you use? And I said, I use them all. So kind of jump around. I always try to put them up there, which one I'm taking it out of. But I try to stay with New King James Version and NIV, but we're going to jump around to a whole bunch of them today. But this is out of the Message Bible, James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. If you don't know about the Message Bible, it's just a really good reading Bible. It says, do you want to be counted wise to build a reputation for wisdom? Here's what you do. Live well, live wisely, live humbly. It's the way you live, not the way you talk, that counts. Mean-spirited ambition, or strife, that's another word for strife, isn't wisdom. Boasting that you're wise isn't wisdom. Twisting the truth to make yourself sound wise isn't wisdom. It's the furthest thing from wisdom. It's animal cunning, devilish plotting, and whenever you're trying to look better than others or get the better of others, things fall apart and everyone ends up at the other's throats. Real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. It is gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings, not hot one day and cold the next, not two-faced. You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoys its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other. By the way, it takes work to get along with people. It takes work in marriage to get along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honor. And as I've said earlier, you know, in our nation right now, it is, you know, the conflict is happening all the time, and I've told us all to be cautious of that divisive behavior, because it can flow down into your family, it can flow down into your life, into your marriage, and into your church, and into your community, and we don't want that to happen. Amen? I'm going to read James 3:16 out of the King James Version, because this is kind of our key scripture for today. It says, where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. I mean, when you got that going on, and it can go on in churches, it can go on in businesses, it can go on in families, it can go on in marriages, where that stuff is happening, there's going to be confusion and every evil work. I mean, the enemy is at work in those situations. James chapter 3, when you read it out of different translations, it's what it's actually talking about is two different kinds of wisdoms. First of all, there's the demonic wisdom, and then he's talking about also the heavenly wisdom or godly wisdom, and we want godly wisdom. And everybody said, amen. All right. I'm going to give you, and these are not exhaustive, believe me, as you study God's Word, you can find more principles, but I'm going to give you six principles today to help you in your relationships, all right, to help you to de-escalate conflict in your life and in your family. I'm not up here going to tell you that as much as we try to avoid conflict, it's going to happen, all right, but then I'm going to teach you how to walk in it, how to talk in it, how to handle it, and come out on the other side. I'm going to just tell you this morning. I just looked at my wife this morning. Something happened in our household. How many of you ever have something happen in your household on Sunday morning? And it always happens on Sunday morning, right before you come to church, yeah. And all of a sudden, I spoke harshly to my wife, and immediately I said, honey, I'm sorry for doing that. I spoke harshly to her, and we're going to talk about harsh words can create conflict. Amen. And learn to say I'm sorry quick, okay? First one that says I'm sorry is always the best person. But try to always that didn't come out right, did it? No, I was the one, yeah, that didn't come out right. Okay, scratch that, edit that from the message. All right, here's number one, how to de-escalate conflict in your life and family. Number one, and this is a big one, guys, I'm going to spend a little bit of time on this one. I don't think people really understand how destructive conflict is. All right? Some people just like drama. Have you ever met those kind of people? Like, my gosh, you know? You don't understand how destructive that is to you. And it doesn't just, it affects you spiritually. It affects you emotionally, mentally. It affects you relationally. And it affects you in your health as well. It affects you in every area of your life. It'll affect you financially, too, because you won't be getting deals because people don't want to deal with you. Because you're a person of drama and conflict. So just it'll affect every arena of your life. There is a real cost to conflict, and quarreling, fighting is a big deal to God. From Genesis to Revelation, the Bible mentions the topic more than 75 times. And at least 6 times, God says not to quarrel. He knows that it will destroy everything we hold dear if we don't get a handle on it. And so I want you to look at your neighbor and say no to drama. Say no to drama. Say no to drama. Okay, just say no to it. Just say no. Luke 22, verse 24. Dusty had texted me this scripture this morning, and I put it in my notes today because Luke 22, verse 24 says, now there was also a dispute among them, talking about the disciples that were following Jesus, as to which of them should be considered the greatest. Now, I just wanted to put that in there to let you know that all conflict, drama, whether it's on a team, I'm looking over here at Mark, coaching in school, in a marriage, in a family, in a business, in a church, it all stems from pride. That's where it comes from. Pride stirs up jealousy, envy, strife, confusion, fighting, bickering, all those kind of things. And since I'm a pastor, I'm going to talk a little bit about church this morning, all right? Sometimes being a pastor, not to you guys, okay, all right, because you guys are golden this morning. You're the church choir this morning. But sometimes being a pastor is like, I feel like I'm taking care of a big old nursery. And there's people screaming for, by the way, Rachel, stand up. I'm sorry, I put you on the spot drinking coffee. This is Crash Davis, first time in church today. I just saw you over there. He is so cute. But, of course, I'm not talking about Crash, okay? Nursery, you know. But I just looked over and saw nursery when I said nursery and I saw Crash. But that's sometimes in ministry, that's what it feels like, okay? And one of my pastors that I listen to is Pastor Robert Morris from Gateway Church in Southlake, Texas. And he has a great ministry, great church. He's a great Bible teacher. But he would have these conferences, these like little mini conferences where pastors would come and he would teach. About pastoring and all those things. And this has been years ago when they first started Gateway. I went to one of those conferences, little mini conferences during the week, and he said something that has stuck with me for years. And I'm going to share it with you guys today. And the reason why is because I want you to be one of these and not the other two. There's three types of people in church, all right? And this is what Pastor Robert said. So I'm blaming Pastor Robert for all this. This is really good. He said there's three kinds of people in church. There's number one, they all start with the letter B. They're bullfrogs, there's butterflies, and there's believers. And I'll never forget this. And I was like, man, that's good. And he said, here's the bullfrogs. The bullfrogs always sit out there on their lily pad, and they're always croaking about something that's not right in the church. They're always croaking. Croaking about something. Then he said there's butterflies. And the butterflies, they like to flit around. And because they're more spiritual than anybody in the church. They're more spiritual than the pastor, anybody on the leadership team. And they just flit around. And some of the times a bullfrog will hop off your lily pad and go to someone else's lily pad. And a butterfly will flit from your church to another church. Okay? Is what he said. And because he's in a major metropolitan area in the Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex, and this happens all the time in that area. And I'm not saying this to anybody that if you're trying to find a church home, this is not you, okay? When you're trying to find a church home, I know you have to go around and figure out, where do I feel at home? I understand that, okay? And so then he mentioned believers. And he said, believers are the ones that they make themselves available, they are servants, and they are ministers. Not only in the church, but also outside of the church. And those are the ones that you work with as a pastor. The other two, you still got a pastor and try to get them into that believer's mode. In Proverbs 20, verse 3, and I'll read that just in a second, but let me ask you this question. Can you guess which ones stir up strife in a church? The bullfrogs and the butterflies, all right? Both of them do. And those are the ones. And so we don't want to be bullfrogs and butterflies. Look at somebody and say, don't be a bullfrog and don't be a butterfly. All right? You want to be a believer. So that's somebody that makes themselves available, your servants and your ministers. All right? Proverbs 20, verse 3 says, it is to one's honor to avoid strife. I'll put that up here. Proverbs 20, verse 3. It is to one's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. All right? There are times you can avoid strife. There's times, and I've told Jada this, there's times in church, that's a fire I don't need to mess with. That fire is just going to burn itself out somewhere. But then there's fires that I need to tend to, call me. The fireman's coming to town. I'm going to put out this fire, all right? There's an old country song coming up in there, BC days. Lord help me. Don't get that out of me in Jesus' name. All right, Hebrews 13, verse 17. I'm going to read this to go with the bullfrogs and the butterflies and all that. It says, Hebrews 13, verse 17, this was a scripture that Pastor Robert used that day. And it says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you. And that's not to say that I'm right all the time, because I'm not, believe me. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. That's me. Obey them so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. That's Hebrews 13, verse 17. And I thought that was a really good scripture to go with that on the bullfrogs, butterflies, and believers. But it's to one's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. What I'm trying to teach you here is there's some things you don't need to fight, all right? You need to learn how to walk away, turn the other cheek, those kind of things. I'm not saying that we're to be ran over. Nope, okay? You're not to be a doormat. You need to stand up. Sometimes you need to speak the truth in love. I had a situation happen. I'm just going to give you a situation from my own life. I had a situation happen it was last year sometime. I can't remember exactly when. But I had a phone call from somebody, and they left a voicemail. And their voicemail was they wanted to know about a property that I had for sale. But in the course of their conversation, it was an elderly man, I could tell. And then at the end of his message, because on my voicemail, I tell people, God bless you. And so at the end of that deal, he said, he was very rude and said, if I wanted God to bless me, I'd go to church or something like that. It was just, don't be telling me God bless. And I was like, I was listening to the voicemail. I was like, oh, my gosh. And I was like, this is a dude I don't want to talk to, all right? This is a guy I don't want to do business with. Here's the deal. You don't have to do business with everybody. Amen? And so I said, my lands, And so I thought, well, I'm going to text him the property because you can text him the listing. I text it to him. And then he texted back, and I don't know. I believe that this man was under the influence of demonic, because immediately he texted me back and he said, "Are you too good to call me?" And I said, and I was like, "I'm gonna tell you right now, I had Tabasco sauce come up. I call it Tabasco sauce." And so I texted him back and I said, "I don't deal with rude people," and just left it at that. Well, I didn't know this, but he called my broker, who is my boss. And talk to her. Hey, I just talked to one of her agents, and he won't even call me and talk to me. Blah, blah, blah. So Amy, who is my broker, she asked me, she knows me, you know, and she goes, Mark, what's going on with this situation? I hit play on my voicemail. I said, I'm going to let you listen to this. And she's like, oh, my gosh, I wasn't even texting the listing, you know, and it was just bad. And so, and then that went away. But here's the deal. Had I called him, that would have ruffled me up. That would have ruined my day, all right? I did not allow, even though it did for a little bit, I'm not going to say that I'm not human, I did not allow the enemy to rent space in my head. I did not have to deal with that. There are some things that you're going to face in life that you don't have to deal with, all right? And you need to learn how to walk away from, because it's the enemy just trying to stir you up, all right? But there are some things you have to deal with, and you're going to get caught in the middle of them. We're going to talk about that here in just a second. Because it has been said that 90%, even though this guy was in the 10%, okay, it's been said that 90% of conflict is rooted in misunderstanding. All right. If that's the case, and it probably is, then conflict resolution is a matter of all parties sitting down and getting a good understanding of what has happened and what's going on. All right. And I'm going to say sometimes you have to do that in marriage. You have to do that with your family. You have to do that in business as well. You have to do it in church. In Proverbs 13:15, it says this out of the King James Version. It says, good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. So I want to have favor. To have favor, you need to have good understanding. You need to see both sides of the story. So good understanding and faithfulness are connected according to the scripture. Most conflicts arise because someone's trust or their faithfulness has seemingly been violated. We can give ourselves and others a great deal of favor in conflicts if we will simply sit down together to discover the misunderstanding and to reestablish trust. And everybody said, amen. All right? Okay, that's how you deal with the, you know, with conflict is getting the understanding. That's one way. Sometimes you just got to avoid it and get away from it. Okay. Number two is how to de-escalate conflict in your life and family. Number two is ask God for forgiveness. Remember when I told you that this morning I started up in our marriage by having a harsh word. And so therefore I needed to be the one that said, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Not that the first is the best, because I screwed up. I messed up. So ask God for forgiveness and do it before the sun goes down. And everybody said, amen, all right? Ephesians 4, verses 29 through 32 says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Ask God for forgiveness and do it quickly. All right? Do it quickly. Get back. I can always tell when Jade and I are in strife, I don't like it. I hate it. I know that it's not good for us. It's not, the blessings of God is not there, so we've got to get it cleared up quickly. Amen. And the quicker you do it, the better. All right. Here's number three. Number three is don't expect other people to fulfill needs only God can fulfill. And this is something I'm going to talk about next Sunday about marriage and our relationships, is sometimes the conflict that happens in our marriage is because we're trying to get our spouse to meet a need in us that only God can. And your spouse is not God. Amen. And so this scripture in James 4:2, this is out of God's Word translation. That's a new one that I have thrown at you. It says, you quarrel and fight. You don't have the things you want because you don't pray for them. Now, let me explain this. Asking other people to do what only God can do will set you and them up for massive frustration. In fact, it's a major cause of conflict, particularly in marriage, and no one can or should meet all of your needs. Only God can do that. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can do that. Instead, James tells us to look to God to meet the most important needs of our lives. Prayerlessness leads to conflict. All right? I can always tell in our relationship, when I start getting needy, Jada will never say this, but there's times I get needy, all right? In all kinds of ways, right? And when I'm getting needy, and when I start acting like that, here's what I know. What I know is that my prayer life is not right. I haven't been going to God and getting my needs met. And she's over there going, you're needy. You need to go get with God. and get some needs met, because I'm not God in your life. And so prayer, and what prayer does is when you're praying, and prayer is just talking with God, telling him about your day, you know, casting your cares upon him, building that relationship with him. And there's this transference that goes on when you're praying and you're getting God involved in your own personal life. What happens is prayer keeps you humble, and it keeps you also full of God's love, and God is able to meet your needs. And then you're able to take that into your relationships and be a healthy person. Nobody likes a needy person. Amen? I mean, even in pastoral ministry, I love praying for people, but sometimes people put me in the place of God. I'm not God. I need to teach you how to pray so you can go get your needs met. Amen? And so we can all do that in our relationships, either with God or with each other. And so we need to have our own personal prayer life. Okay, here's another one. Number four is to choose humility over anger. There's going to be times when you're in a conflict, and golly, you know, like I said, the Tabasco sauce rose up. And so for my humble response was, I just don't need to respond in this situation. But there are some situations where you need to respond. But in that situation, it just wasn't. So I chose humility over anger. I guarantee if I'd have called the guy, we'd have probably got into it over the phone, because he was just looking for a fight. That's what he was waiting for. Okay, James 4, verses 6 through 7 in the New Living Translation says, and he gives grace generously. As scriptures say, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Humility is a powerful thing. God has declared war on ego, arrogance, and selfishness. Anytime pride gets a hold of our lives, we can guarantee we're working in opposition to God. And if you want God's help to reduce conflict in your life, you need to start with humility, being humble. When you're humble, you'll get along better with your spouse, with family, with members, family members, with your employer, with coworkers, with church members, and the list goes on and on and on. So we want to choose humility over anger. Here's number five. In fact, before I get into number five, I talked with a guy this week by phone. Jada heard the phone conversation. Doesn't live here, lives somewhere else. And it's in some chaplain work that I do for a company. And I visited with him by phone, and I was just asking him where he went to church. And he said, Mark, I don't go to church because I've had some bad experiences in church. And I didn't judge him, because I was like, I'm a pastor. I've had some bad experiences in churches too, you know. And he said, I've just decided, you know, really, he does need church. We all need a church family, all right, hear me out. But the reason why there's a whole lot of people out there that are believers and love Jesus, but the reason why they don't come to church is because they heard in the community that they're up there fighting over what color the carpet is. Well, who wants to go to that church, right? I don't. I wouldn't even want to pastor that church, right? You know, and so that's what goes on in people's minds, and they're just like, man, they fight and bicker more than the government does, and at the church. And so I don't want to go. I'll just stay home and watch it on TV. Whew, can't blame them. Amen. So we got to get it right in here, right? And learn how to walk in this grace and the favor of God and the blessings, because we want to attract people to be a part of this body of Christ. We're just one part of it. But to do that is we've got to walk in humility with one another. I'm going to mess up. You're going to mess up. But we have to have grace for one another. And everybody said, amen. All right, how to de-escalate conflict in your life and family. Number five, recognize the unseen spiritual war behind the scenes. All right, you've got to realize what's going on. I had a situation happen with a family member years ago. They have passed away, went home to be with the Lord. But I had a situation happen with them where they ruffled my feathers. They said some very unkind words to me personally, privately. They did this, and it left me devastated to the point I was in tears, and to the point where I went to God, and I talked to God about it, and I was telling God, God, go get him. You know, that was how I started off the conversation with God. In tears, I was just ticked off, man. It was just horrible what had happened. And God began to open my eyes and said, Mark, you need to open your eyes, son. Get beyond what happened naturally and see the unseen spiritual war that's going on. And I found out later that this man was sick with cancer. And he was just speaking out of what was going on. He wasn't even in his right mind, is what I'm trying to say. And I had to look beyond that and forgive him and move on. Sometimes people are just hurting, you know. And you may not be the one that brings healing, but they may dump it out all on you. But you need to be the bigger person that just says, you know what, they need Jesus. You know, and there's some unseen forces going on in their lives right now that I can't see and I don't understand, but they need a touch from the Father. Amen. And just pray for them. And I had to pray for this gentleman. And I'll be honest with you, there was a, I'm just going to even share this too, because this one really bugged me really bad to the point where I thought, and I just feel like I need to share this because somebody needs to hear this today, because I thought that I needed to go and make sure that we were reconciled, okay, before this person passed away. And the Lord, through a series of events, I'm not going to get into all that, showed me that I didn't need to do that. And just said, Mark, you've already done it. You've already forgiven him. It's okay. You just need to move on, son. There are some times you need to go talk to him, and the Holy Spirit will lead you in that. And I was really thinking that I need to do that, and the Lord stopped me and said, no, you don't. You don't. You're okay. You're okay with me. He's okay. You just need to go on about your life. And what the Lord showed me through that was I was letting that situation, sometimes we can have a situation happen in our lives that just stunts our growth, and we just stay right there the whole time. We never move on from it. Could be a parent or whatever, you know, and then we just, you need to move on, okay? God's forgiven you. Forgive yourself for whatever you had to do in the situation. Forgive them for what they did and move on. And everybody said, amen. You don't need to keep going back and asking for forgiveness. That's what I'm trying to say, okay? Look at somebody and say, you need to move on. You need to move on. Somebody need to hear that this morning. All right, recognize the unseen spiritual war behind the scenes. This is Ephesians 6, verse 12. It says, For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Satan wants to damage all of your relationships, and he's ready to supply you with an arsenal of hurtful words the moment you get into a quarrel, which will only escalate your conflict to places you don't intend. And that's why it's critical you resist him if you want to dial back the conflict in your life. Be aware that Satan has a plan to attack you when you're at your weakest and to push you to act emotionally rather than logically. Got to get your emotions out of it. Amen. And here's the deal. Before we get to number six, I'm also going to go ahead and give you number six, and I'm going to tell you this. How to de-escalate conflict in your life and family. Talk to God silently during a conflict. All right. How many of you have ever walked in a situation you just know there's going to be a conflict happen? Okay. All right. That's where you have to make a pre-made decision before you ever walk into that scenario that I'm not going to let them push my buttons and I'm not going to go south, right? And it's not going to turn into MMA, right? Okay? I'm not going to turn into Conor McGregor on them or something, all right, and start talking smack and all kinds of stuff, all right? You just got to make that pre-made decision not to do that. It's easier said than done. I understand that. But there's been situations where Jada and I, it's usually over the holidays in our family. And I'll look at Jada on the way to the house, on the way to that family member's house, and I'm looking at her and I say, if they say this, we're not going there, okay? If they do this, we're not going there and all that. And she's like, okay, okay. If I look at you and I say, honey, let's go home, that means let's leave now. Right? That's our key word. You know, and you just got to have those pre-made decisions, all right? Guys, we live this just like you guys do, all right? And this is how you walk this walk and keep the favor of God and his blessings upon you. Because if you get over into unforgiveness, I'm telling you, that's where you don't want to be, all right? Because you just, man, you're like this. Heaven cannot reach you. And I'm not saying that you're not going to go to heaven, but you're just not going to live the abundant life here on this earth that the Lord designed for you to have. And so this number six is talk to God silently during a conflict. And James 4:8 says, come near to God and God will come near to you. So we have to lean on that promise when you're in the middle of a conflict or when you're going into one. And once you realize you're starting to get irritable, pause and ask God for help. Now I'm going to end with this little phrase that somebody told me one time and it's really helped me. And I have to tell myself this a lot with situations that happen. You need to learn how to practice the pause. Because sometimes if we don't, then we get over in emotions and we say things we wish we'd have never said. So learn to practice the pause. Look at somebody and say, practice the pause. All right? I've shared this story here, and every time I talk about conflict, this story always comes up in my heart that happened to me in my past. And I was a hospice chaplain, and I went to this person's home, it was a little old lady, and she was so sweet and kind, and I'd prayed with her several times before, knew that she was a Christian, she was ready to go home, but the reason why she was hanging on because her family was in conflict, fighting and bickering amongst themselves. And this particular day that I went by there, I did not know this before I went, and I walked right into a conflict. And wanted to walk right back out and go home, but I was there, and I knew God had sent me there for a reason. So I walked into this house, this little bitty house, and in the middle of the living room was the bed, the hospital bed that they had, the grandma and the mom of this family, the matriarch of this family, and she was on her deathbed, and she was just laying there. She was ready to go home, but all of her family was sitting around her in the living room, and they were all fighting and bickering over different things, over stuff, petty stuff, right? And she, even though they don't think that she can hear everything that's going on. And I walked in there, and I'm listening to what's going on, and I'm there to see her and to pray with her, and I'm standing there going, Lord, can I leave? That's the way I'm praying underneath my breath. I'm ready to walk out. Because I'll just tell you, this was a rough family. This was rough. Like, I may not get out of here alive if I say the wrong thing, kind of rough. And so I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden my heart starts pounding, my palms get sweaty, and I know the Lord's telling me to step out there in the middle of that living room in front of that bed and say a few things. And I'm like, I don't want to. I'll just stand right back here and pat some people and love on some people and stuff. And so I finally got up the courage to get out there, and I didn't raise my voice or anything like that. I just said, hey, I just feel like I need to say something. And I said, you know, your mom, your grandma is about to pass away, and whether you realize it or not, I've done this a lot in hospice, you don't think that she can hear everything, but she can, and she's hearing all of y'all fight and bicker and over different things, and she's ready to go home to be with the Lord. I've made sure of that. She knows Jesus as her Lord and Savior. She's ready to go home, but she's wanting to make sure you guys are okay, you know, and so y'all need to get on the same page and get these things worked out and all this. And there was just like this real awkward silence. There have been those situations where there's just this awkward silence. And there's this big dude, like a trucker. I mean, he's two times my size. And he's the first one that stands up. And I'm like, I'm going out right in front here, right in front of grandma. I'm going out, you know. And he comes up there and he puts his arm around me. And he says, Mark, you're exactly right. He goes, guys, we need to get our stuff together here. Let's quit this fighting and bickering. And we had a big moment of prayer there together as the whole family, and then I left. I got out of Dodge. No, I left. No, they were doing good when I left, and I left, and later that evening is when she passed away. And so I'm just saying, conflict is a big thing, guys, and do your best to live above it. I'm not saying that's not going to happen to you, but make those pre-made decisions, and I'm just not going to allow the enemy to rip space in my head and cause me to go south and lose the blessings and the favor of God. All right? It's not that you're going to lose your salvation, but if you get over in that unforgiveness, guys, God just can't do anything, because you've got to learn how to walk in forgiveness. It's a learned behavior. All right? We got to walk in forgiveness. Some of you need to do some forgiving this week. And like I said, you don't have to go to that person. You can just do it between you and God. All right? Sometimes the Lord will say, no, I need you to go to that person, and you need to talk some things out. That's when you do that. But I think most of the time it's just between you and God, you know. Because I've seen, and the reason why I'm cautioning you on that, not to say that you don't do that and it's not biblical because it's there, but I've seen too many people that say, man, I've got to do what God's word says, and I've got to go get with that person, and I've got to make sure they forgive me, and I forgive them, and blah, blah, blah. And then they end up fighting again. And it's even worse than the first time. All right? And so that's where you've really got to hear from God before you do things like that. You got to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, because that's what the enemy wants to do, is keep beating you up. And I'm tired of God's people getting beat up. So I'm hoping you learned something through this. Everybody learned something? Look at somebody, say, practice the pause. Guarantee you're going to need it probably before you even get home. Okay? That's a good one. All right. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And just like every Sunday, we did this last Sunday, and Brody accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Just want to make sure that everybody here knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Those that are watching online, those that are going to be listening to this on the radio. And it's very simple. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in this prayer of salvation today. And even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with them. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. If that's the first time you prayed that prayer, you need to do what Brody did this morning and follow the Lord in water baptism. Okay, I want everybody to stand up. And if you're standing there with your spouse, we're with family. I want you to hold hands. And Jade and I are going to speak this blessing over you this morning. This blessing comes out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26, but this is kind of the extended version of that blessing. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Hug somebody's neck and say, practice the pause. Practice the pause. I've been hard on myself.